You're closer to the second coming than we've ever been. And we need to preach that. Amen? We need to know, people need to know, Jesus is coming. It will not be business as usual forever. And what we see in the Middle East is one of those signs that Jesus said, when you see these things happening, lift up your eyes, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. So we know that with these events that are transpiring right now in the Middle East, there's always two realms going on. There's that realm, the natural realm. People get up, they go to work, they come home. But in the spiritual realm, there's tremendous upheaval. And it's because God is preparing the earth for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Middle East be a lesson to all of us that this life does not last forever. We just have so many years on the earth. And no matter how young you are, your years on this earth will expire. Either Jesus will come or you'll live out your life on this earth and we will stand before Him. Amen. That day's coming and it's not a day of fear for the Christian. It's a day of hope and rejoicing. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word today. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. I ask You again now for utterance in the Holy Ghost. I pray that my speech and preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. And Lord, I thank You that as You were teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal. I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears would be open, their hearts would be open to receive a word from God, to receive a word from You. I thank You and I praise You for this now in Jesus' name. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul the Apostle is writing and he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The word gospel is an old English word that means good news. If it's not good news, it's not the gospel. Yep. Amen? Can I get a good amen on that?
Amen.
If it's not good news, it's not the gospel.
Right.
For the gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, here in this scripture, Paul says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that word salvation, one man said, implies it's an all-inclusive word. And it implies the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. It would include prosperity. It would include many aspects. That's why Jesus said, when He stood up in His own hometown, in the synagogue, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those that are bruised or oppressed. And that's not a complete list in itself. He's not just saying that's all the gospel will do. He's just setting out several aspects of salvation. He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me to preach the gospel. And this gospel is good news to the poor. This gospel is good news to the brokenhearted. The gospel is good news to those that are in any kind of captivity. The gospel is good news to the sick, to those that need healing. The gospel is good news to those that are oppressed. It is good news. And Paul said here, so it's multifaceted, he said the gospel is the power of God unto this multifaceted salvation that is ours to everyone that believes. So it's not the power of God to everyone. It's the power of God to those who believe. And that's why we need to preach the full gospel, the whole gospel, every aspect of the gospel, because we are all continually in need of those different aspects of the gospel. That's why preachers need to preach it and people need to hear it, because it's the power of God to those that believe. And you never believe, you can't believe what you don't hear. Amen. And what you don't believe, the part of the gospel that you don't hear, is the part of the gospel that you don't believe. And the part you don't believe is the part you don't get. Amen. Now the danger with faith people, and I'm one of them, so I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. The danger with faith people is that they think they have faith. And because they go to a faith church or a church that preaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. That's the only way faith comes to us. And someone said faith comes by hearing and faith goes by having heard. The danger of being a faith person, attending a faith church, is that it makes you think you've got faith. And when you think you've got faith, you probably don't. The Bible says, if any man thinketh that he knoweth anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. Right. It's really easy to think that you have faith because you've heard that. I know that healing's in the atonement, so I have faith for healing. Now, it's not necessarily true. I know God wants us to prosper, and so I have faith for prosperity. No, you may not. You might not. I know God wants me to be whole in every area of my personality, so I have faith for that. Well, do you? You know, are you hearing that part of the gospel? Preachers need to preach it, but that's not enough. The preacher can preach it. I know the preacher does preach it here. I know Pastor Jan does preach it. Pastor John and the others who minister here preach that. But it's not enough just for them to preach it. The believer needs to hear it. Amen. Because it's the power of God to all them that believe, and you will never believe what you don't hear, and the part you don't believe is the part you don't get. Right. So it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. Believe that He has brought liberty to those that are oppressed. Sometimes people can live in their problems for so long that they just get accustomed to thinking, I will always be that way. That's the way I'm supposed to be. And that I can't be any different. And so they stop hearing that part of the gospel with their heart, and they're just hearing it with their ears. Sometimes people, in the area of physical healing, you can be around a lot of healing, and I know there's healing in this church. Amen. You can be around it, though, and not be in it. Because you think you've heard that, and you think you know that already. But it's hearing it and hearing it with your spirit that causes that power to be released. Faith, someone said, puts action to the power. Faith activates the power of God. The power of God is always everywhere present. That power of God to heal the blind, to bring recovery of sight, to heal the deaf, to heal diabetes, to heal cancer, to heal thyroid problems, to heal asthma. That power is always everywhere present. But faith gives action to the power. It's the power of God to them that believe. And you can believe or not believe at any given moment. I've had wonderful breakthroughs in some areas of my life because I was feeding myself on the Word of God in that area. But then I would lapse and not feed my faith along that line. And my faith was not as high anymore in that level. It comes by hearing and hearing the gospel. And a person could have oppression in some area of their life or need a financial breakthrough. It's faith that the gospel includes prosperity. It's faith that though he was rich, he became poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty might be made rich. It's faith. It's a living faith. It's a now faith. It's a faith that makes that a reality, where you have the revelation of that, that activates that power. That power is always present. It's not something you have to necessarily pray the power down or ask God to send the power. The power of God is here. But faith gives action to the power. Now, he says something really interesting here. He says the gospel is the power of God to all them that believe. And then verse 17, he says why it's the power of God to them that believe. Do you ever see that connection? He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Or in other words, the gospel is the power of God to all those who believe, because in the gospel is a revelation of righteousness. He said the gospel is the power of God to those who believe. And here's where a lot of faith people miss it. I'll say it again. Here's where a lot of us miss it. We've made faith this little cathedral all on its own. We've set it up with all its own little rituals. Very complicated. And you know what? The Word of God is simple. The Bible's simple. Salvation's simple. Faith is simple. If it gets complicated, it's not God. So he said that, he's saying here, between verse 16 and 17, he says, there's a connection between the gospel, which is the power of God, and righteousness. He said the gospel is the power of God because in the gospel, there's a revelation of righteousness. And we make the gospel like, well, praise God, we can get saved, or we can get healed, and we can be prospered, we can be delivered, we can be set free, and we compartmentalize it in all these areas. But salvation is salvation. And the gospel is connected with a revelation of righteousness. In the gospel, when we preach the gospel, there should be an what's revelation? It's an unfolding, an unveiling. It's when the light comes on, the bell goes off. And in the gospel, there should be a revelation of righteousness. Your gospel should reveal righteousness. Your gospel should involve a revelation of righteousness on the inside of you. And if it doesn't, it will short-circuit the power of God. It is the power of God because therein is a revelation of righteousness. And notice in verse 17, righteousness has to be revealed. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Revealed is a continual unfolding. And it is revealed from faith to faith. There's not only a connection between righteousness and the power of God, there's a connection between your faith and your revelation of righteousness. The more understanding we have of that, this thing called righteousness, the more faith you'll have. And faith unlocks the power of God in all those areas of salvation. And he goes on to say, for it is written, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let me explain that. That's talking about a person. The just one, or the righteous one, shall live by his faith. That verse is in the Bible four times, and it's three times in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. 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 I wonder if God is trying to get something across to us. Have you ever said anything four times to your children? And why did you do that? The just shall live by faith. So how important is faith? You got to live by it. It's not something you just come in and pick up with the bulletin when you walk in the front doors here. You know, and leave it in the pew as you go out. You'll get another one next Sunday. The just shall live by faith, because salvation affects your whole being. Amen. I mean, everything you are and want to be is wrapped up in salvation. It wasn't just this pious something God thought of for Sunday morning. It's your life. It's who you are. Healed, prospered, delivered, free. Saved, forgiven, protected, preserved. And the just shall live by his faith. This is the victory over the world, even our faith. Your faith is your victory. So how important is faith? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing all the good stuff that God has for you in the Word of God. And that power is activated by your faith. It's as you hear about these things, it activates the power. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't have a New Testament, but she had Jesus. And He is the New Testament. The New Testament is just a revelation of Jesus. She didn't have a written New Testament. She had Jesus. And it says that when she heard about Jesus, she began to say within herself, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. That's why she started to say that. Because first she heard. And that power that was in Him, it was there for everybody, but her faith gave action to the power. Many times we're waiting for God to do something that God has already done in Christ. Salvation is a completed work. And that includes your righteousness. Now that power of the gospel is connected to righteousness. Righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. The more you grow in faith, the more you'll grow in your understanding of your righteousness. Notice what I did not say though. I did not say that as you grow in faith, you'll grow in righteousness. Now, righteousness is a gift. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. And then over in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Righteousness is a gift. Some guys like motorcycles and some guys like cars and some of us like watches. Now, I only have one nice watch, and it's a very modest watch, but it's a nice watch. I now have two, and that's why I'm telling you this story. They're modest. I mean, if you ever shop for watches, you just can't believe how much a watch can cost. I was talking to my wife and her girlfriend, and they were saying, well, they couldn't understand why a man would think watches were neat. She said, well, I guess it's jewelry. So that she could relate to jewelry. I said, well, I guess it is jewelry, but it's jewelry with a machine inside. I was at a meeting one time, and a pastor came up to me, shook my hand, and in his hand was something cold and metal, and I looked, and it was a watch. And it was a nice watch. It wasn't a hugely expensive watch, but it wasn't cheap. And it was a nice watch. And it blessed me, because I like watches. I just like to look at watches. And I like wearing them, too. Anyway, so I was praying one day, and I had my arms lifted up to the Lord, and actually I was wearing a different watch. And it seemed to me, the Lord spoke to me and said, take off your watch. I thought, that's ridiculous. That's not God. That's one of those flaky things you hear people do. The Lord told me to stand on one foot and quack, you know. I thought, no, I'm not going to take my watch off. That's not God. So I kept praying, and I still had my hands lifted, and it just seemed to me again, this prompting, take your watch off. I thought, that's not God. So I kept praying, and the third time, I just felt impressed, just take your watch off. So I thought, well, it won't hurt to do it. I mean, you know, I'll just do it just to show, you know, this isn't God. And so I took my watch off. And when I did, the Lord spoke to me. And he said to me, now, every morning when you get up, I have that watch. It's a Movado, that one that was given to me. It's a nice watch. I had it in a certain place. And when I get up in the morning, I just go over and look at it. And it blessed me. And the Lord said, now, when you get up in the morning and you look at that watch, it blesses you. Yes, Lord. And if you had a good day the day before, and you were just a great father, tremendous husband, a wonderful Christian, and you look at that watch is yours, isn't it? That's, yes, Lord. But if you had a bad day the day before, and you weren't as loving and wonderful and sweet as you could have been, you know, if you kick the dog, that watch is still yours, isn't it? Yes, Lord. And that pastor's not going to ask for it back. No, Lord. And even if he did, I wouldn't give it to him. I didn't say that to the Lord. And then he said to me, he said, that's the way righteousness is. It's a gift. It's a gift. And it's yours. It's yours in Christ. And he said to me, now put that watch back on and stop taking it off. And I knew what he meant. He wasn't talking about that Movado. He was talking to me about righteousness. Because if I had a great day, a real good day, I felt real righteous the next day. If I didn't have such a great day, I wake up kind of ashamed to go pray, you know, kind of crawl into my prayer closet, hope the Lord wouldn't notice me, you know, wait till I get pray in tongues for about an hour, then it'd be okay for the Lord to look at me. And he said, now quit taking it off and just wear it all the time. Amen. 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 That righteousness is a gift. It's a free gift. And that's why Paul said, much more they who receive of the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Now, when we in faith circles talk about reigning in life, we get all kinds of ideas like, I don't know, world conquerors, world changers, world dominators, pink Cadillacs, big diamonds. But I'll tell you what, the first place you're going to rule and reign in life is over your own flesh. Amen. Wouldn't that be a world to conquer right there? If you could just keep yourself, husbands, from saying that last three words to your wife that you knew you shouldn't have said, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just conquer that part of the world? Amen? You know, that's the first part. That's the first place you're going to rule. And if we don't rule there, you're not going to rule out there, you know, over Xerox or IBM or Microsoft or even on Interstate 5. That righteousness is a key that unlocks the power of God. Many times in faith circles, we've missed that. We've made faith a law. We have made faith a system of merit badges. And we hear people say, well, my faith got me this, and my faith got me that. Bless God, I got this by faith. And really, dear heart, you didn't get anything. Jesus got it. What, you mean you took the stripes upon your back for your healing? You're the one? What do you mean you got it? You went to the cross and died for your sins? You were the richest being in the universe and you became poor? That through that poverty you might make us rich? What do you mean you got it? You didn't get anything. Really, if we wanted to be truthful about it, you could say, well, my faith received. But God provided. Amen. And faith is easy. Especially when you understand righteousness. That it's a gift. And you know, I'm reminded of the scripture where Jesus said the Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And many times with faith, you almost make it sound like, you know, it's really easy to make it sound like you were made for faith, to serve faith. You know, if you had faith, bless God, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this. And man, you could just slap all kinds of qualifications onto simple faith. The fact is, it's a completed redemption. Now, if you tell people that, some people will always say, well, if you just make righteousness a gift, then people are going to do some unrighteous things. Not if they understand righteousness. Because righteousness is a gift. In other words, it comes by grace. For by grace are you saved. And Paul said in Romans 6:14, he said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You know, it's almost laughable because you'll hear people say, what happened to that person? Oh, they got a hold of too much grace. And it destroyed them. The grace of God will not lead you into sin. It'll lead you out of sin. The grace of God will not give sin dominion over you. It'll give you dominion over sin. Grace, Paul said, Jesus talked to him. When Paul said he had that thorn in the flesh, Jesus said, Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There's an equation in that verse, and the equation is this. There's an equation, grace equals God's power. My grace is sufficient, my power is made perfect. See that? Grace is God's power working on your behalf. Another way to look at it is this. Grace is God working in you. The law is you working for God. Grace is what God can do. The law is what you can do. Now there's in Galatians chapter 3, Paul asks, I counted last night and I counted six. I'm going to use a lawyer word on you, and then you have to forgive me and pray for me. Six rhetorical questions. What's a rhetorical question? It's a question you don't expect an answer to. It's a question you ask for effect. Now, my daughter is 15, going on 16, and there is a revelation of righteousness in the gospel, and there is a revelation of your wife in your daughter. Every man needs a daughter to fully understand his wife. But when I was in high school, I think I had one pair of shoes for 8 years. I mean, I could go for years with the same clothes. But it took me years to catch on to this. I thought that when I bought my daughter some clothes, they would last a long time. I thought that the idea with clothes is you wear them until they wear out. But that is not the way it works. And of course, I understand that ladies are victims of the system and the fashion industry. And that last year capris were a certain length, a certain design. This year, amazingly, they're cut differently and they're slightly different length. And of course, got to get new ones. And so if my daughter came up to me and said, Dad, I need money to go to the mall. You know, I could ask a rhetorical question. I could say, what? Do I look like an ATM? Now, I am not expecting her to answer that question. I'm just asking it for effect. And by the way, guys, it won't make any impact anyway. Just give her the money. Actually, and of course, you know, when it comes to your wife is your glory. And I like my wife to look good because I have favor when my wife is with me. People like me better when I bring my wife. That's why I try to bring my wife to every church that I go to. Some folks think that I must have something on the ball just because my wife is married to me. They figure, well, she looks really bright anyway. He must have something. So, that grace, that righteousness, that is the nature of God. Paul said in Galatians 3:21, he said, if there had been a law which could have given life, then righteousness would have come by the law. So there's another equation. There's an equal sign in that verse. Righteousness, what is it? What is this gift that you've gotten? It equals the life of God. It is Zoe. It is the life of God. Righteousness is the life of God in you. And that's why it doesn't wax and wane. It doesn't flicker like Tinkerbell. Remember when Tinkerbell was about to die? She was just flickering out. If you saw Peter Pan, you surely have seen Peter Pan. It's gone through at least three editions. I saw the original Peter Pan back with Mary Martin. So I know you've all heard of Peter Pan, even though you're acting right now like you don't, to make me feel bad. Thank you. Thank you, brother. The original. Good. Based on the original. That'll work too. So Tinkerbell's about to die and she starts to flicker. Well, your righteousness isn't about to die. The grace of God, the righteousness of God in a Christian is the life of God. And it will absolutely put you over. It will cause you to have victory over sin. The grace of God leads us, teaches us to live righteously, godly, soberly in this age. And it is a gift, an absolute gift to the believer. And it's not in a separate compartment by itself. It's absolutely related to your healing. That's why 1 Peter 2:24, we only quote the last part. By His stripes you were healed. But the first part says, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and live unto righteousness. For by His stripes you were healed. Get a revelation of righteousness and faith is easy. When you begin to understand the grace of God and that the righteousness of God is so freely given to you, and you don't have to earn your healing by some kind of merit system anymore. That's why in Galatians 3, I was about to share this, Paul says, he says in verse 2, this only would I learn of you, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does he expect an answer to that? No. What is the answer? What's the plain answer here? The hearing of faith. He didn't receive the Spirit, and he's not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Here he's talking about the new birth. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your spirit. And he said, well, did you get born again by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? What's the obvious answer? By the hearing of faith. Well, if you couldn't get yourself born again by your works, and by the way, it's not just doing penance and lighting candles and going to confession and helping, you know, grandmothers across the street. I mean, I'm telling you what, the default setting for the human race is works. Right. Believer, unbeliever. It goes back to Adam. Yep. It's ingrained. The default mode is work for it. Now, righteousness and grace will not make you lazy. Well, where's Bob this morning? Oh, he stayed home. He didn't come to church. Why? Well, he said he's not under the law. He's under grace. Well, Bob is a lazy, ignorant Christian if he's saved. No, grace will not make you lazy. Grace is not passive, it's active. It'll energize you. It will not put you to sleep, but it will cause you to enter into rest. For we who have believed do enter into rest. Faith should cause you to enter into rest. Not make you think, man, there's just so many confessions I've got to make. I believe in confession. I've got to pray in tongues for so many hours. I believe in praying in tongues. But when you start adding those things up, they just become like prayer beads. If you're going to have to work it and earn it, well, you're just like, you know, the people over in Tibet. Get out your prayer wheel. The more times you can crank it, the better. It's a finished work. Everything, that healing, that lifting of oppression, that prosperity, that deliverance, that freedom in relationships, freedom in your marriage, freedom in your finances, it's a finished work. And the key to releasing the power of the gospel is righteousness. understanding that you don't earn it. You cannot earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Right. Have you ever had anybody begin to put you down or condemn you or nag at you, and it's a constant condemnation? And very quickly you start trying to earn merit to resolve that situation with that person. You don't have to. You have been made righteous as a gift. And that righteousness includes all the blessings of the gospel. It is simple. And it's a gift. Salvation's all inclusive. In the gospel, there is a revelation of righteousness from faith to faith. The more you grow in faith, the more understanding you have of righteousness. But it has to be revealed to the believer. Many times our faith is short-circuited because we're not growing in our understanding of who we are in Christ. That's why Paul told the Ephesians, of all the things he could have prayed for, he prayed that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And at the end of that prayer he says that they might know the exceeding greatness of His power toward them that believe. When people begin to understand that righteousness is a free gift, and it comes, you know, the working of God in your life comes by the hearing of faith. It does not come by the works of the law. He said, did you receive the Spirit? Did you get born again by the works of the law? No. Well, he said, having begun in the Spirit, how did you begin your human life? You were born. How did you begin your spiritual life? You were born. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He said, he that ministers to you the Spirit works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? In those verses, there is another one of those equations. There's a contrast between the hearing of faith and the works of the law. Between being in the Spirit and being in the flesh. And there is an equation between the hearing of faith and being in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, scan in the Spirit. How? You're not going to be made by what you can do. But when we begin to tap into the life of God on the inside of us, which is the righteousness of God, in every situation, at every opportunity, every time there is a failure in life, in your life, you begin to tap into that righteousness, which is being in right standing with God. God sent His own Son because of the weakness of our flesh. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh that He might redeem us and fulfill all the requirements of the law on us. It doesn't matter. Wait. And every time there's a right there to bring for poverty, he'll attack you on the base. Should have done. Archer and faith Christians die. Are you great? If a person gets a whole righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, it will produce righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you begin to understand you don't have to work to please your Heavenly Father, that you have a gift of righteousness, He is fully, wholly satisfied with you right now. Just the way you are. Now he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. You know what? True confessions. I'm in the last week or two, I have become so acutely aware of areas where just walking in love and selfishness, I have fallen short. And I'll tell you what, I'm so glad I can fall back on righteousness. Because if I couldn't, I would despair of ever being able to change that. I mean, I would think, man, you're 55 years old. You've been a Christian for over 35 years, 37 years, filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you what, if you start to look at yourself and what you've done instead of at the Lord Jesus and what He's done, it will lock you into unbelief. And then the gospel won't work for you in those areas. I'll tell you what, if you've been frustrated in your faith, if you've heard a faith message and you thought, well, I tried that and, you know, they had a prayer line and nothing worked for me. I'll tell you what, The place I would start checking on the wiring is right there in Romans 1:17. On the righteousness. Do you have a revelation of the gift of righteousness? That this is, I think, the best gift that God gave us, because it is the gift of His Son. Your righteousness is Christ in you. And you know, His Spirit in you doesn't flicker or wax and wane. He's there. It's a gift. Put the watch on and stop taking it off. And if your faith isn't working in some area, check up on that one. That righteousness is a free gift. And you are, if you're a Christian, if you're born of the Spirit, you're in right standing with God. It lays a foundation in your life for change. It won't keep you locked in the past. It'll set you free. I'll tell you what, if you've tried and tried in some area of your life, and you've tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried some more, and then you backslid, and 6 months later you crawled in the back door of the church and you heard a sermon and you rededicated your life, and you tried and tried and tried some more. I heard one preacher say he'd dedicate and rededicate and rededicate until his dedicator wore out. I'll tell you what changed him was when he got a revelation of who he is in Christ and who Christ is in him. And that's for every Christian. Therein is the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto healing. It's the power of God for them that mourn. It's the power of God for those that want to lose weight. And everybody said, amen. Amen. It's the power of God for those who are depressed. It's the power of God into those that are worried about their kids and feel bad about the job they did raising them, and they could have done better and they should have done better and they could have done this and they could have done that, and if only they'd been saved and they weren't saved and na-na-na-na-na-na-na. It's the power of God unto you. It's the power of God to those that are sick and depressed and broke and condemned. It is a gift of righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You and we praise You, Father, for the gospel. We thank You. It is good news. And it's especially good news, Father, to those that have not heard it. It's good, especially good news to those that are not saved, that have no hope of eternal life. Father, it is good news to every believer to know that Jesus did the work. He carried the cross. He bore the burden. He took our sicknesses. He took our poverty. He took mental oppression. He took that anxiety. He took that sense of failure. He bore that in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness. Hallelujah. And I want You to say this with me. Heavenly Father, I purpose in my heart to receive of that gift that I have already received in Christ. It is mine, but I ask You for revelation of it. Open the eyes of my heart that I may know what is the hope of Your calling, what are the riches of the glory of Your inheritance, and what is the exceeding greatness of Your power to those who believe. In Jesus' name. Now, just with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's anyone here and you have never received that gift, you can. There are people here that are trained. They will pray with you. Can I just see, as I look around the auditorium, if there's anyone here and you have never received that gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never received His salvation into your heart, is there one? Is there anyone here this morning that with an uplifted hand you would just indicate Joe, I want that free gift of righteousness. I want the past wiped out. I want eternal life. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Is there anyone here in the auditorium, as I look all over this auditorium this morning, anyone that with an uplifted hand would indicate, I want to receive the free gifts of salvation? I'm looking all over the auditorium. Father, I thank you, I praise you that if there be one, that they will just open their heart to you. As you said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open up, I will come in and sup with him. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all the believers said, Amen. Amen. Pastor John.